Well, we join with Gary and welcome everybody out to the services. We invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin our study and focus on the phrase that is found in that text. And we're just delighted to be here and after a good week of preaching all week. And anyway, had yesterday off, I guess, in a way, but glad to always be able to assemble on the first day of the week. We never know what will come our way in life that can take away this privilege, and I hope that we will always count it as a privilege and a blessing, a joy to be able to assemble. We appreciate all who are able to be out. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, Peter says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." In particular, we want to talk about that phrase, and the King James Version is priesthood. When you look up the word priesthood in Mr. Strong's dictionary, Mr. Thayer's dictionary, he says the word priesthood is the priestly fraternity. That is a sacerdotal order, figuratively, or priesthood. And Mr. Thayer says the order of priests or the body of priests. So when we read about the priesthood, we're talking about the priestly fraternity. That's our topic today, to talk about this priesthood, this priestly fraternity, this order of priests that Peter speaks about in our text here in verse 5 and in verse 9. First off, I want to talk about what the priesthood is not. In the minds of denominational folks in our denominational world, their concept of the priest is a kind of a certain select separate group or body of believers. That is, in the New Testament order, they say that there is a separate group, just a certain part of the people who serve as priests. Kind of like in the Old Testament. Of the 12 tribes of Israel, you had the Levites who served as the people of the priests under Old Testament order. It was a separate priesthood, a certain body of people who served as priests. Even so, people claim today that there are certain people who serve as priests. But the priesthood that Peter is talking about, the priestly fraternity, the order of priests who he's talking about is not some certain select group of people of the believers. Nor is the priesthood the dispensers of grace, as we have in some denominations. The priest is sort of the clergy order of folks who dispense God's grace. Those who distribute to the faithful the sacraments is the ideal in denominational concepts. The priesthood is not people who wear some sort of special garments or robes or collars. In denominational circles that have a separate priesthood, they wear certain garments and only they're allowed to wear them. And therefore, that's where you get the idea of a man of the cloth. That is, special robes or garments that identifies and sets them apart as in this clergy priesthood. The priesthood that Peter talks about is not people who wear titles of distinction. You have people who are in this priesthood and denominationalism, and they like to wear these titles of distinction, just like they have these garments of distinction. I look round about, and what I see people just wear everyday clothes.
that anybody and everybody purchases and buys at the stores, whether you go to Penny's or whether you go to Sears or Dollhairs or wherever it might be, Kmart, Walmart, wherever it might be. We all just wear just everyday clothes that everybody wears. And we have, when you talk about in denominationalism, to have people who wear these special titles of distinction. That sort of sets them apart, that they're a different class of people. They're in the clergy class. And therefore, they wear names like Reverend, or Dr. So-and-so, or the pastor, that type of thing. These titles of distinction, such as Reverend, or Holy Right Reverend, or Most Holy Right Reverend. I mean, they just do all kinds of things with that. And these titles distinguishes them from the laity, that is, the common folk. But the priesthood that Peter's talking about is, that's not what he's talking about. The priesthood is not people who go to some special school or seminary or some monastery and study and therefore are qualified and have been duly ordained to serve as priests. It's not the priesthood that Peter talks about, this priestly fraternal. It is not somebody who must, that you've got to go through the priestcraft to be blessed. If you want to be blessed, you want to get connected with God, you have to go through the priest. In the Old Testament, in order to offer sacrifices, you would go to the priest and offer the sacrifice, and the priest would go in your behalf before God. That's not the way it is of the priesthood that Peter talks about. Nor is it this clergy-laity system. In other words, here you have the priest, and they're sort of up here, and you have the laity, and they're down here. And the laity goes through the clergy, and you have this clergy-laity system of things. That's what you see in many human denominations when they talk about their priesthood. No, Matthew 23 and verse 8, Jesus said, "But you're not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers." In Christ Jesus, there is an equality, that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we shall see, that every saint makes up this holy priesthood. Who is this priestly fraternal? The fraternal order of priests that Peter talks about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is all believers in Christ. All the saints. In the New Testament order, every Christian, every saint, every child of God, every believer makes up a part of this royal priesthood. This fraternal priesthood. This priestly fraternal as defined there. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." He is addressing Christians in general. And in addressing them in general, if you'll notice there in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, "ye also." I like the way the King James, when they use the word "ye," it means you all. Other translation says you yourselves. That is showing plural. Sometimes we say you, we're talking about one individual. Sometimes we use you, we mean you all. That is you in totality there. And when Peter says, and addressing the Christians, he says, "ye." He says, "ye also are lively stones, or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." Ye who? Well, all the Christians. All the saints, the believers in Christ. Notice there in the fourth chapter there. In chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "If ye," talking to the same group of people. "Ye." Why ye? You all. "If you all be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf." And so when Peter is describing in the second chapter, he says that ye, that is you all, are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. He is addressing all the believers. Every Christian serves as a priest in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian serves as a priest. Well, let's back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. In the prophecy of Isaiah 61, probably we are familiar with verses 1 and 2, where the Lord Jesus read from this text in verses 1 and 2 and says it applies to him of the coming of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him and to anoint him to preach the good tidings. But in this general context, notice down in verse 6, he says, But ye shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. It was prophesied that we would all serve as priests in the New Testament order, not some separate group that would be over here and in the church of a certain select group of people that would serve a priest. No, that's not what the New Testament teaches. Every Christian, everybody who obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, serves as a priest in the New Testament order. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, then, Revelation chapter 1, notice there in verses 4 through 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and hath made us. Us who? Those who have been washed by the blood of Christ. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we have been washed in the blood of Christ, that is, we are one of God's saints, one of God's sanctified ones. By being a believer, an obedient believer in Christ, a Christian, a child of God, we serve as a priest, a servant of the Lord. Notice there in chapter 5, in Revelation chapter 5, in verses 9 and 10, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find his redemption, these texts say that we become priests unto our God. So who is the priestly fraternal? Who is the priesthood? Who is the order of priests that the Bible talks about in these texts? You're talking about all who serve as Christians, all who are children of God. Every child of God serves in the capacity to be priests. Well, what kind of priest are we? Well, we are told what kind of priest we are. We're to be a holy priesthood. Look at our text again in 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A priesthood that is holy. A priesthood that is sanctified. A priesthood that is separated into God is the significance of being sanctified. That's what it's saying here, is a sanctified one. That is, those who are set apart to serve God and to do his bidding as a priest. Verse 9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The nation of priests is to be holy. Peter says in chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of life, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. God has called us to be a holy nation, a holy priesthood. The priestly fraternal, the order of priests, in the New Testament, is to be a holy priest. That means you just can't live and do like you used to. Before your conversion, in your ignorance, Peter said, well, you just live after the lust and the ways of the flesh, after ungodliness, after the wretched things of the world. So now you left that. You've been separated from that which is evil and wicked, and now you've been separated into God to live a holy life.
Notice there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 there, beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, there is to be none. And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, there is no communion. There is no sharing. If you're in the light, you're not in darkness. If you're in darkness, you're not in the light. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That is Satan. I mean, what's Christ and Satan going to sit down and have a powwow about? They don't have things in common. They're diverse. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Here's somebody that believes in God. Says, yeah, I believe that God created everything. Here's an infidel. I don't think there's even a God. There's no common ground between them. One says there's God, one says there's not. There's no agreement between those two. Well, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There is none. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God has called us out of darkness. He has called us out of the realm of wickedness to be a part of this holy priesthood. This fraternal order of priests that are to be holy, dedicated to the Lord, sanctified. And I will be a priest unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Having therefore these crowns of daily love, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. So what kind of priest are we to be? We're to be holy priests. Truly separated for God's service. Not tainted with the ways and the ways of the world. Not tainted by the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Put bad attitudes and bad actions. No, he says, no, you put aside all that and be sanctified. What kind of priest are we? Where we're to be holy priests? And we're to be a royal priesthood. This priestly fraternity is to be a royal priesthood. We are made kings and priests. What does he say? That we rule in righteousness. We are ruling in righteousness with Christ. And that we follow the royal law. That's what makes us priestly. I mean, that's what makes us kingly. We live to a higher order and walk to the beat of a different drummer. In James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, that is, you're full of prejudice in your hearts, you commit sin and are convinced that the law has transgressors. James there, talking about respect of persons, talking about prejudice in the text there, in the context there. But the royal law says we love our neighbor as ourselves, and that means everybody. You see, when we follow the royal law, we are ruling in righteousness. We are made kings and priests. That is, we rule and reign in righteousness. Notice there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 there, and in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus is the absolute king, ruler of the universe, and he rules and reigns in righteousness and justice. Ladies and gentlemen, we also are kings and priests. We are part of the royal priesthood because we are ruling in righteousness, that is, trying to live godly, dedicated lives. So what kind of priest are we? Would it be a holy priesthood? Would it be a royal priesthood? And then what does the priestly fraternal do? What is our obligation? What is our service all about? Well, let's notice in the Old Testament from the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Now the things which we have spoken, this is a sum, that we have a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherever it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if you were on earth, you should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve in an example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses is admonished of God when he is about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. When you go back at the Old Testament history and you look at the order of priests, the priests would go into the holy place, the high priests would go into the most holy place. And what did they? They offered sacrifices. There in chapter 9, there, and in verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Alright, so the priests came in and they offered sacrifices. They worked, they would go out there and they would slay the animal. Sometimes it was a whole burnt offering, sometimes it was only a portion of the animal. And they would offer these sacrifices, they would bring blood in, and they would burn incense and other activity, but they were doing service for all the other Israelites. They were offering these sacrifices. That's what they did in the Old Testament. And then that parallels with what we do in the New Testament order of things. We offer sacrifices. That's what priests do. Basic, fundamentally, is that they work in service to God and offering sacrifices. Notice in Hebrews the 13th chapter there, and in verse 10, we have an altar. Well, what's an altar? Well, an altar is a place of sacrifice. We have an altar wherever they have no right to eat which serve in the tabernacle. The sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice under New Testament order, is Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And we have right, we have the prerogative and the privilege to partake of the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those outside, that is those who are not Christians, the unbelieving Jews and others, they have no right to enjoy these blessings. Continuing on in Hebrews 13, notice verse 15 and 16. By Him, that is our faithful high priest, Jesus, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Well, you want to talk about our sacrifices? We offer the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of our lips. Well, that would be things like our singing. That's the sacrifice of praise. As priests of God, we came and we joined in as Corey led these various songs. Well, what were we doing? Just going through motions? Was it just some sort of mere tradition? No. And we, as priests, we are offering these sacrifices to God. The sacrifice of our lips. When Sherman came and led us in prayer, what was happening? He was leading us. As we were all meditating upon His words, as we were offering the sacrifice of praise unto God and thanksgiving when we go to God in prayer. When we're busy about doing good, in serving, whatever way it might be, I tell you, that's part of our priesthood, offering these spiritual sacrifices in service to the Lord. And then He talks about communicating. Communicating is simply sharing. When we share our time, we share our talents, we share our money, we share our abilities in helping somebody, giving somebody a ride to go to the doctor, mowing somebody's yard, taking somebody some food, helping somebody, here I'll wash the kids while you go to the hospital. Whatever it might be that we're sharing of ourselves, it is a part, ladies and gentlemen, of our priestly service in offering sacrifices unto God. Our spiritual sacrifices that we're offering up to the Lord. And that's what He tells us to do. That's what priests do. We're in the business of offering sacrifices. Every time we sing, every time we pray, when we commune in the Lord's Supper, when we give of our means, and all other things that we do, we are involved in the spiritual sacrifices. Notice there in 1 Peter chapter 2, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what priests do. They offer sacrifices. They come and offer these sacrifices to God. In the Old Testament, people would bring their animal. They'd take the animal and they'd cut the animal.
And they would slit the neck and the blood would come out.
Sometimes they would take the blood and go offer that. Sometimes they would take the animal and carve it up and cut it up, and they would offer that on the altar of burnt offering. And people brought these various types of offerings before the Lord, and the priest would go and offer them in behalf of the people. Now, we don't have to go through some man to offer our spiritual sacrifices to God. We go directly to God through our high priest. And that's what he said. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We come and we offer it through the Son of God. So each of us individually offer up our spiritual sacrifices in the spiritual house of the Lord. Don't have to go through some separate priesthood. Don't have to look to the priestcraft. It's not essential. It's not necessary as it is in human denominationalism. But we follow not human denominationalism. We follow the New Testament order and pattern as described and talked about in these scriptures. Notice there in the book of Philippians chapter 4. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how the Philippian church was helping him in his work of preaching. He says in verses 18 and 19, "But I have war and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus." He was the messenger. He was the one sent to take the financial support and the help to Paul. "I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of His glory by Christ Jesus." When a congregation supports somebody preaching the gospel, maybe in a distant land that maybe we would never have the opportunity to go, but we help support. They are spiritual sacrifices. That's what it is described. When the collection is made on the first day of the week, and a portion of that is given to support the preaching of the gospel in other parts of the world, it is described as a sacrifice. We, as priests of this priestly fraternity, this holy priesthood, this royal priesthood, we are trying to propagate the truth. It is described as a spiritual sacrifice that we're offering unto God. And that's what Paul is describing in this text. And then notice there in Romans chapter 12, really our whole life of what we try to do as the people of God is a spiritual sacrifice we're trying to offer. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." I remember a comment I read many, many years ago. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices, they offered animals, they slayed the animal. The animal didn't crawl away. They killed it, just laid it on there and stayed there. Then about a living sacrifice, it has a tendency to want to kind of crawl off the altar. No, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, that is, which is your spiritual service. You may not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As this holy priesthood, as this priestly fraternity, this priestly order of New Testament saints, of the children of God, of the Christians of the New Testament, our life we offer in sacrifice to the Lord, in service to the Lord, to the building up of the body of Christ, to the propagation of the gospel, to the edifying of the saints. And all that we try to do as a congregation, as individuals, it is part of our spiritual sacrifices as this priestly fraternal order of brothers and sisters that we all offer in our spiritual sacrifices unto God.
It is the priesthood that is described in the New Testament. A holy, royal priesthood described in the New Testament. But only those who are part of this priestly fraternal can offer these spiritual sacrifices. But you can be a part of this holy, royal priesthood. How? By obeying the gospel. Stepping out. By becoming a Christian. Say, yeah, I want to be a part of this because ultimately this leads to heaven. You must hear the gospel of Christ. Acts 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians hear and believe and were baptized.
We must believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ladies and gentlemen, we must repent and turn to God. Acts 17 verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Got to come out of darkness if we're going to be a part of this holy, royal priesthood. We must confess Jesus before men. Matthew 10 and verse 32, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And the final step to become a part of this royal, holy, priestly fraternity, that is, we must be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And when we've done these steps, we become a part of the church of the Lord. The Lord will add us to His church. We're part of this royal priesthood, this priestly fraternity. And then we just grow and be faithful and just keep offering sacrifices day after day, week after week, offering our spiritual sacrifices unto God. But if we err by going back into the ways of the world of darkness and sin, our hands are polluted. God doesn't want any sacrifice until we come to repentance and make things right. We've got the second law part in Acts 8 and verse 22. We're going to sing this song, your encouragement. If there's one here that needs to step out and would like to become a part of this priestly fraternity, brothers and sisters in Christ, you can do so even today. If we can help or assist you to that end, let us know what we can do to assist. Why together as we stand and as we sing.